Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
I was breaking down Broncos Chargers because I did Chargers last week, right? And the Chargers ran one RPO where Philip Rivers handed it off. And the Broncos, what's the kid has come in and played really well, 97. Not Schlotsky's Deli. He's 71. I always just look at coaches' tapes, so I never know anybody's name. What's the kid's name? Itacho or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
Itachi?
Yes.
Itachi? Not like Hitachi. Remember the video games?
Yes.
Itachi? Didn't Hitachi develop Pong? Bloop. Bloop.
It's Itachu.
Itachu.
Jeremiah Itachu.
Itachu. So they run this RPO and Philip Rivers hands it off. Itachu doesn't spend 1 second looking at Philip Rivers. He just screams down the line and hits him in the jaw for about a minus two. And I was just like, I laughed. I go, you guys probably ought to scrap pile that. Nobody believes that Philip Rivers is going to take off looking like Woody from Toy Story, you know? Oh, there's a snake in my boot. You know, all bolo, well, no boots.
Did you run that line by him, by the way?
No.
You didn't get to that?
I didn't even think about it.
Because you came up with that last week.
He was so fired up.
Was
dude.
He?
Oh, my gosh. So fired up. You know, because people are talking about, you know, kicking him to the curb. He can't play anymore. And he's like, are you kidding me? Like, one thing you got to love about Philip Rivers is he gives zero poops. He does not. He's like, I threw 8 picks in the last 3 weeks. Who gives a rip? Like, I'm Philip Rivers. I let it rip.
Anthony Lynn may be giving it a rip.
Oh, there's no question. But Philip Rivers doesn't care. And you talk about, like Joel said, I don't really care about the mechanics. There's a case in point right there. Because nobody would teach you how to throw a football like that. Nobody. But that said, you know, that edge presence, that quarterback that can make you, you know, hold the edge, that can keep you from constricting and getting in on tackles and stuff, that's an important aspect of it. So is it fixable? Listen, the thing about this offensive line, do I think you need an upgrade at the left tackle? Absolutely. There's no question about it. You can't afford in this league to give up 30 yards of penalties every game. Now, he's been better, but think about the way in the last couple of weeks, you know, there's only one holding call or there's no sacks. Think about in the last couple of weeks what they've done as an offense. Now, I've told you this coming in. This offense loves to operate in two tights and three tights and doing all that stuff. But the condensed formations, it's hard to spread when you don't trust that you can do that. So, yeah, he'll make up for it. He'll make it easier. But will he fix it? No.
Time now for our weekly visit with our pal Adam Schefter, our NFL ESPN insider. He is presented by your Front Range Mercedes-Benz dealers. He joins us now. And, Adam, are you catching Drew Lock fever?
Well, I'll say this. A lot of people have it right now. He's been impressive, more impressive than I expected him to be. I will admit that. He's been good. He's, I think, reaffirmed their faith in him. And I think anybody who's watching would have to be pleased, correct?
Absolutely. There's no question about it.
I know this, that when some other people watched him this summer, they thought it might take some time. They wondered whether he'd be capable. I wondered it myself based upon all the things that I heard. And I've watched the first two games, and I say, this is something. This is interesting. And I think he's got people excited. And I think that for the time being, it looks like they found themselves a quarterback. Now, again, sometimes it takes a little bit of time to sift through that, make sure that it's accurate and valid. But so far, you have to be very pleased with what you've seen from Drew Lock.
Yeah, if you're the Broncos, then does he become, like, depending upon how he does the next three games, does that become a situation where you say, hey, if we found our guy, or we think we found our guy, we don't have to go into the quarterback market now? I mean, do you see that becoming part of kind of the way the Broncos function going forward?
Yeah, listen, I think – that right now, and it's only two games, right? So we've got three more to judge. But let's just say he plays the way he did the last two games in the next three. I think there's zero pressure to go find a quarterback in the draft. Zero at that point in time.
Adam, what do you expect will come out of the NFL's investigation into the Patriots?
You know, this is pretty simple to me, right? Like, there are so many cases, and there are different cases. And you can't compare certain things, but how many investigations have there been of somebody who's done something wrong, a player, a coach, an owner even? And each side has got his or her own version of events, right? So Antonio Brown, and you, maybe you don't want to compare, maybe it's a poor analogy, but he's got his case and he says, you know, I didn't do anything, and the other woman claiming he did. Okay, what's true, what's not? I don't know that we know. I don't know we'll ever know. In this particular case, it's really simple. The NFL has the videotape. Okay, the league can judge for itself what the Patriots did or didn't do. I don't know what they did. Well, look, the Patriots acknowledged that they did something they shouldn't have, though they say it was with an independent film crew on the in the press box, and said that he wasn't with the football operations and had no connection to the football operations. Now, again, there are people that hate the Patriots and think they cheat, and they'll think that the NFL should throw the book at them. And there are people who love the Patriots and think that, hey, I'm going to buy what the Patriots are saying. Again, I don't care who's right and who's wrong. I would watch the video, and if the video is just zeroing in on coordinators and coaches signaling plays, that's an issue because that's illegal. Okay? If it's not that and it's an over-the-shoulder shot, then maybe it's not what New England is saying, right? But the NFL has the tape. The tape tells all here.
Let me ask you this then. If the NFL comes back and says, hypothetically, that the Patriots willingly did something that they knew they're not supposed to do, so they find them guilty, what do you suppose the punishment will be for this organization?
Well, you know, it's a great question, Stink, and I raised that question on Get Up this morning. And again, it's shades of gray here, right? Because the Patriots say that this was an independent film crew, not related to football operations, that was doing a feature for, you know, through the craft group for the website. Now, they're still, again, the advanced scout is a Patriots employee. They're there representing the Patriots. So, I mean, I don't know what is right. If the video is clear and decisive that they're doing something that they shouldn't have been doing, then I think they're going to get fired. I think they may lose a draft pick, right? If it's not as clear, maybe you slap the organization with a fine and put an end to the situation. But I don't know what's on the video. If they're guilty, the Patriots can say, well, you know, this guy doesn't work with us. Like, we don't have a connect. And that's what they say now anyway.
Busy with Adam Schefter, our NFL ESPN insider. Is this going to be another offseason in which we see six or seven NFL coaches get fired, as tends to be the number just about every year?
Well, Mike, I actually, you know, I've done the math on that. It's like the average since the start of the century is 6.7.
Okay.
And I'd have to update it this year, but I know last year was like 6.7. And, I mean, We could just trot them out right now and come up with six, seven places that are under watch. And then there's always like a surprise, right? Someone you didn't really see coming. But right now we've already gotten Washington and Carolina. Here are the other places that are worth watching at this point in time. Dallas, New York Giants, Jacksonville, Cleveland, Atlanta, Detroit. I just railed off six more to you. Are all six going to make changes? Probably not. Are some of them going to make it? Absolutely. Okay. So we've got two. I listed six more, and then there's always a potential surprise.
Yeah, I mean that's the way the league works. That's the league in general. All right, Adam, man. Really appreciate you. Always fun catching up. First holiday card, as per usual, the Schefter card. We thank you for that.
Well, a beautiful family card from you, Stink. Appreciate you guys. Have a great week. We'll talk next Thursday.
All right, good.
There he goes. Adam Schefter, our NFL ESPN insider. He is presented by your Front Range Mercedes-Benz dealers. So I know we don't get to Is It Just Me Friday until tomorrow, but is it just me or listening to Joel Klatt and Adam back-to-back in talking about Drew Lock, I sensed a feeling of, pleasantly surprised, but I'm still really skeptical.
Absolutely.
And I mean, because here, locally, it's been like, wow. I mean, he may not be the answer, but wow. You know, there's so much to like. And I don't know whether or not it's because maybe these guys came in. And I know this was certainly the case with Joel. Because we've talked to Joel about Locke, and I've never gotten the sense that he's been really...
He wasn't in his draft evaluation, pre-draft evaluation, it wasn't his favorite guy. There was a lot to be done before he was going to be ready to play.
Never got the sense he was really bullish on the idea of Locke.
Right.
So, I don't know. Is it just me, or did you hear some of that too?
Well, I absolutely heard some of that.
Both of them.
Right. And I think that cautiously optimistic is the way they look at it based upon what they heard coming in, what they saw coming in. They were skeptics. Now what he has done has been pretty amazing, Mike, what he's done. But like I told you in the first week, I was amazed at what they did to protect him from an offensive coordinator standpoint. What they created and understanding what the issues, understanding what the problems are and avoiding some of those problems, and helping a young guy out. Now that to me is tremendous football. And it's kind of what I saw with Kyle Shanahan last year, with Rich Scangarello last year when Mullins took over. Now here's the difference between Mullins and Drew Lock. Mullins has the kind of arm that coaches say, which Kyle Shanahan said to me, he's going to make a great coach one day. You know, that's his talent level. But above the neck, he's super smart, and he's going to get the ball out on time, accurately on time, and, you know, he's going to make the right decision. Now, his arm talent is going to limit him. Now you look at him, he's going to be an NFL quarterback for the next dozen or so years as a backup, and he'll bounce from team to team, and he'll, you know, at some point he'll make $8 million backing up or $7 million backing up or whatever it is, and it's going to be a tremendous career. But he's probably not going to get that opportunity to be the guy just because the arm talent is always going to be, you're always going to have like a physical talent limitation that's going to say to you, yeah, but if we only had this, if we could only make this play. And so, you know, to me, he'll probably be a great backup for a very long time in this league. Good for him. That's a good thing to have. But Drew Locke's talent level is, you know, his talent level is supreme. He's got a gift. And what they didn't think, I think what they didn't believe is that coming out of Missouri, where everything is one read, you know, it's funny. I was talking to Gardner Minshew, and this is an interesting just take on coming out of that college system, because he played, you know, he played for Mike Leach up at Washington State. So I said, well, what's the difference? And so he said, like, the difference to me is the volume of the offense. And so he said the volume of the offense is, it's intense. All the different things that you're looking at, all the different things and all the different calls and all the different plays that you have and all the different concepts that you run. He goes, at Washington State, we ran 10 concepts. That's it. We ran 10. And you're running them in college because you're playing with such pace. You're running them against the same defense over and over and over again. And so he said, when I come into a game plan in college, I'm throwing the same play during practice, during the week. I may throw that particular call that we're going to run in the game. I may have thrown it during practice 15 times that week. In the NFL, we're running a concept that's going to be a solid concept. I might throw it 2 times in practice because of the volume of the other things we have. So it doesn't become ingrained in what you do. And you may not see it. You may throw in it twice in practice and both times you got to cover 3 and all of a sudden now you got to cover 2. Or you got a quarters, or you got to cover 1, or you've got some type of variation. You got 3 buzz, you got 3 week, you've got whatever the variation is. Now you've got a different, you're looking at a different scenario and you've only run it twice during the week.
That I think was the biggest revelation I took from talking to Joel was his surprise that in just his second start, he was making anticipatory throws.
Right.
Because most of these college quarterbacks, they're not making anticipatory throws. They're not throwing guys open.
No, they're throwing.
They're throwing to a guy who's already open.
Who's wide open. It's a sight. You're playing against a zone. The routes that receivers run in college, usually there's no real route. You just run to this open space because you're getting a zone because of the way we play offensively. So you're just throwing it to a wide open guy who's essentially standing there. The other thing is you're throwing it to one dude. Throw it to this guy. If they close down the first window, let him get to the second window, then throw it. Like that's that, not get off that, go to the next progression, the next guy in your progression, or read one side, look at the defense. Like a lot of what they do in the NFL right now, Mike, is they've got a 2-side read. So instead of just having a level like 1, 2, and 3 on the front side of a progression, now it's, hey, look at the front side. If you get the coverage we want, throw it. If you don't get the coverage we want, go to the backside. So you've got on the front side, you got a zone beater. On the backside, you got a man beater, right? And so you're saying, hey, we got a zone beater here. If they're in man, get to the backside instantly, right now, and let it rip. And so it goes boom, boom. And you've got to be able to think that way. You talk to the coordinators around the league. You talk to the players around the league and you see kind of, the depth of knowledge that you have to have and the decision making ability that you have to have. And these are the things that they believed or they didn't believe Drew Locke had, who all of a sudden has shown them, hey, wait a minute, he's more advanced than we thought.
Well, this is a guy who started 50 games in college. So wouldn't you think with that kind of depth of experience that there was certainly the room for him to be able to handle more.
Yeah.
And pick up these things quicker than maybe a lot of quarterbacks do coming out of college.
I think that has a lot to do with it. And the other thing is,
which maybe also makes me wonder why not by the, certainly his senior season, which he'd already started 37 games. Maybe why didn't they throw a heck of a lot more at him?
What, in college? In
college,
it's because they run what they run. That's just what they're going to do. I think even more importantly than that, Mike, is that because he started those 50 games and he started at Mizzou that's in the SEC and you're at Mizzou and you're in the SEC, you're going to be overmatched the majority of the games you play. It's not like being at Oklahoma where if you play 11 games 10 times, you out-athlete the opponent. There's no question.
Yeah, good. Nice that you haven't completely lost your ability to take a little shot at Baker Mayfield. Good. I see you.
Look at how accurate he is. Give me a break. Just give me like...
I'm not John Elway.
All the things. It's always good? It's good to be right. Makes you feel
good. You feel like you're right about all this now?
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess all those interceptions probably might indicate that you're kind of right.
I think they're in a real, that's a really dysfunctional team. And I think,
what do you mean? They're on every magazine cover I saw this past offseason.
I think, and he's in every commercial. They're rolling out new Progressive commercials.
Oh, great.
Can you imagine if they were, I saw a new one the other day. If they were actually winning a game, it would be amazing. But no. I just think that his, lack of maturity. It's like when you're doing nothing wrong and you run from the cops anyway, that should have been, by the way.
And you get chased down by the cops.
Yeah, you got tackled into the bushes by the
guy. You got caught.
Like, I would have said, forget Baker Mayfield. I want to sign that cop.
Right.
Cover kickoffs.
Yeah.
That guy was good.
Put Paul Blart there at defensive end. Let him rush the passer.
Yeah. So, anyhow, yeah, the lack of maturity. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. The point being is that all those starts, he hasn't been overwhelmed by the magnitude of playing in the NFL because he played and he was, you know, an underdog in the majority of SEC games he played in, you know, in big time environments like LSU and Alabama. I'm assuming he went there and played games there. I don't really know. I don't have any schedules in front of me. Go ahead.
Yeah, and some more Is It Just Me's. Is it just me or Sting talking next to his nose makes me want to go in my room and put a sock on the door handle? Hey, no, it's not a sock. It's a tie.
Come on.
LB.
Maybe he's trying to get you with an O, really.
No, Duff, I'm not going to say that. Is it just me, Stinky? Oh, here's a little wedge driver.
Oh,
is it just
a little Stinky.
Is it just me, Stinky, or did Joel Klatt say it was the most aggressive offense he's seen from the Broncos all year, something that you stubbornly refuse to admit?
And I did not stubbornly refuse to admit it. I'm saying you opened up your offense because you actually executed. You need to listen. Like, don't just listen for what you want to hear. Listen. I hate that. Oh. I hate that.
But Joel was kind of intimating that they were more aggressive calling plays that they haven't called this year.
They were more aggressive calling plays because they actually executed the plays. What you guys were trying to tell me is it was a different offense. Like, oh, all of a sudden they came out on Wednesday, they scrap out the offense. They were running and they went with a more aggressive, totally different style. No, they didn't. It's the same damn plays. They executed early so they could stay aggressive throughout the first half. And even in that drive in the second quarter, the touchdown drive, in the third quarter, second half, the touchdown. Don't give me the baloney. I know that you've listened to Mike for a long time and you want to drive a wedge. You want to drive the wedge. Good for you. Hey, no, you know what? Calm down. What do they do in yoga? Usawa or something like that? Usawa? Namaste. Yeah.
How did you come up with Usawa?
Usawa, namaste. What the hell's the difference?
Yeah.
So namaste. Namaste. I'm going to be calm. This is what gets me in trouble. This is why, you know, I get going and then I have to make apologies. I say something that...
You were getting kind of ramped up right there. You were getting...
I was agitated.
You were getting agitated. 0-60 right there.
I know.
And then you somehow confused CJ Usama with... Namaste.
Namaste.
Okay. Coming up next, some more hot takes from our 8 a.m. texters on the RamosLaw.com text line. Also, why Mark will tell Vic Fangio to stop with his theories. That's next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank, banking for good.
All right, so we know, well, if you don't know, you should know, the NFL desperately wants to expand to a 17-game schedule.
Correct.
Now, what that'll look like, do you get 9 home games, 8 road games? It might be one of those things where one year you'll get 9 home games, 8 road games, and then during the preseason you'll get 1 a home preseason game, which makes a lot of money for the owners, and then 2 of them will be on the road. The next year, you'll get 8 home games, 9 road games, but you'll get 2 home games in the preseason. You know what I mean? So
that'd
be the math, right?
Okay. Now we're talking.
But it looks like it's coming. Yeah, the players are saying we don't want it, but come on.
It's so cute.
Those NFL players. Oh, we're going to stomp our feet and hold our breath until we get what we want. What? checks run out in the middle of the summer, okay.
Yes.
We'll roll over.
That we've been talking about this same war chest.
Yeah.
Since I was in the league.
Yeah.
Got to build a war chest.
Yeah. Save your money.
War chest.
So, here's Vic Fangio on what he thinks about what maybe a 17-game season would look like. Even his thoughts on what a 16-game schedule should look like.
Well, I'll tell you a story. I mean, since the league went to 32 teams, which was when the Texans came in 2002, my ideal suggestion, which has never been put forth in front of anybody important, but I don't think there should be divisions. I think you got 16 in each conference. Everybody should play each other once, and that's 15 games. Okay, and then if you want a 16th game, you play a natural rival from the other conference. You know, Jets and Giants play every year. Eagles, Steelers, you know, Texans, Cowboys, et cetera, play every year. And then keep it at 16 games. But you'll avoid the problem that's going to happen this year where probably an 8-8 team is hosting a 12-4 team. You're going to get the six best teams in each conference. And the divisions always float. There's some that are easy some years, some that are got a bunch of good teams. You know, that switches back and forth every couple years. I just think it'd be a good way to avoid it. But I'm not for 17 games. I think it should stay at 16.
All right, what do you think about his idea? Do away with divisions. You don't play the Chargers, Chiefs, and Raiders twice a year. You'll play them just once. But you'll also play New England once a year. You'll play Baltimore once a year, the Steelers once a year. And then you find that one geographical rival in the NFC.
Who's our NFC geographical rival?
Well, we play Arizona every single year in the preseason.
Yeah, whoop-de-doo, Basil. Who cares?
I don't know. Minnesota?
If we all, you know, where we'd meet them in South Dakota. We'd play them somewhere in South Dakota. Because either, if you're in South Dakota or North Dakota, you're either a Minnesota fan, you're a Minnesota, or you're a Bronco fan. So we could do that.
All right.
With Cowboys.
Could be the
Cowboys. Well, you go down to New Mexico and play, right? Because some people in New Mexico like the Raiders, and some people like the Cowboys, and some people like
you don't have to. But if it was a 16 game schedule, you wouldn't have to do that. You could just 1 year it's here, 1 year it's there. But if it's a 17 game schedule, then yes, you'd probably have to have that 17th game would have to be like a neutral site game, which is kind of actually kind of cool. The idea that hey, maybe we go play the Vikings in London 1 year. Maybe we play the Vikings in Mexico City 1 year. Maybe we play the Vikings at Notre Dame Stadium 1 year. I don't know. Things like that.
Yeah.
What do you think of Vic's idea?
I think Vic has probably thrown that out a few times, and the reason he hasn't got much response is because nobody takes it seriously. Like, hey, you can't do away with divisions. There's something special about, like, this game has far more meaning going to Kansas City this weekend based upon the beatdown that Kansas City brought us at home, got the new quarterback in Drew Locke going to hometown. I mean, there's too many good.
Yeah.
It's just too many good storylines. The divisions are important. Look what's going on in the NFC West right now.
I was just thinking about that. Right.
Like with Arizona is not just they're just not a walkover. Like you got to prepare, you got to play them, right? They still lack some talent, but at least they're not, it's just not a rollover team. And then Seattle and San Francisco, and all of a sudden the Rams are starting to charge back. I mean,
so imagine you had a scenario going on this year. Here are the Broncos sitting at 11-2. The Raiders are 10-3, and the Chiefs are 8-5. And you're playing those teams twice a year?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how much fun would that be?
Right.
Maybe we're more open to the idea of what Vic is proposing because the Broncos have been down and the division's been kind of down.
Mm-hmm.
But if all of a sudden you got that kind of feel going where, or the NFC North, Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago. Yeah, something like that playing out.
Boy,
New England would hate this deal.
Right. I think this
move
is
out of their cushy AFC East.
I think this is more about New England bringing them back to the pack a little bit.
What? We count on those two games a year with the Jets and Dolphins.
Yeah.
And for most years, the Bills. We count on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like football season and all the things that go with it.
I love Tom Brady.
Yeah, I don't think any of that's going to happen. I'm with him on the 17 games, you know. I think
it's coming, you know. You guys will roll over.
Oh, yeah, naturally. All you got to do is hold us out of the off season. You know, at first we'll put up a good front, like through April. Yeah, we don't need you. And all of a sudden July will roll around and you'll be like, I need my checks.
I didn't save my money.
Yeah. You just be like, and they know, the owners know. I mean, it's the way it's set up.
Right.
You know, I always tell you guys 20% of the guys make 80% of the money. The other guys spend like they're making what those guys are making.
They know that at their core, NFL players have a little bit of Patrick Ewing in them. Remember the immortal Patrick Ewing line? Well, we got to get paid a lot of money because we spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the way it works.
Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I get it, you know. I mean, that's why the whole Colin Kaepernick thing would have been interesting had he not just agreed to, sign it over and take a check on the collusion case, because had he fought through it and had they been able to prove collusion, then all of a sudden you'd void the collective bargaining agreement and it'd been opened for business right now, this time of year.
I owe you a huge thanks, a huge debt of gratitude, and I'll tell everybody why coming up next. I know this is normally around the time of the show that you apologize.
Right.
But no, not today. If anything, it is I that owe you a huge thanks.
Really?
Yeah. Because, wow, miracle of it must be the holiday season because a miracle occurred.
Really?
You won the fan football pick'em this past week.
I did?
You did. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
And with that, victor comes the spoils.
Dang Supers.
Dang Supers. Delivering breakfast sandwiches. Fantastic.
How are you going to go wrong with that? Well, we knew you weren't going to win.
No.
Pick 'em.
No, I'm having a rough year.
And now you know what's going to happen. You're going to start chasing victories, which is only going to lead to
more despair.
You probably will lose. Like, you'll probably lose the week.
Like,
chasing victories.
Like, I've already done it. I made my picks.
Already?
Yeah.
Who's the game tonight?
Jets and Ravens.
Took the Jets?
No, I did not do that.
Oh. I'm not. Somebody's onionless.
I'm not that entirely foolish. But I'll give you an example.
Okay. Lay it on me.
I did take, in your game that you're going to work, I did take David Blau's Lions to,
That's not going to work out well for you.
Upset Tampa Bay.
Okay. Okay. Do you take the Broncos?
Not ready to do that yet, but I'm thinking about it.
Really?
Yep.
I picked against the Broncos and they're winning. I'm going to stick with that strategy. I think that's my overall theme. Just stay with the strategy.
Okay.
Continue to pick against.
Okay. All right.
That's me helping you guys out.
So we know how much you guys and gals out there love our sound that we put together. So Patrick Mahomes has a hand injury.
Yes.
In fact, after the game, he was saying, like, you know, it was scary, quote, scary. Couldn't feel his hand. And then yesterday he went out and practiced, and, in his own inimitable style, he spoke, which is a reminder of what makes Kansas City Week so much fun.
It doesn't feel great right now, but it's something that you play with. In this sport, you're going to get hurt. You're going to bang something. And so for me, it's about going out there and competing and relying on my teammates to help me out whenever I'm not feeling maybe 100%. I mean, it speaks volumes to this team and, like, how much heart and determination that we have.
Phenomena.
Oh, we're playing the whole thing. Showtime!
Do you think... this is a serious question.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe Patrick Mahomes was a big Sesame Street fan as a kid, and he had like a favorite character that spoke like that, and he just started... like speaking, you know how when you're a kid, like, remember the count? One, two, ah.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that. And he just started speaking like
one,
that.
One, two.
Oreo cookie. Yeah. And then, you know, he'd get all excited about it.
Right.
Maybe he just started speaking that way, and his voice just kind of got stuck. You know how your parents always used to say, if you sit too close to the TV, you know, you're going to go cross-eyed or whatever, whatever the old wives' tale was on that. There's a bunch of those that your parents...
You keep doing that, you're going to... Oh, never mind.
No. Yeah, not... No.
We didn't have great eyes.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a bunch of those that you were told as a kid that this would happen to you. Like, if you chew bubble gum... Right? Run that, like, if you chew, but it never digests.
Right. You can't swallow gum.
Right.
Don't swallow gum.
It will never digest. It stays in your stomach for 7 years or something. There's all kinds of things. Don't ever eat something and go swimming. You have to wait for a half an hour. Like, you automatically drown if you have something in your belly when you get in the water. Like, just drops you.
My mom was big into that.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering if, you know, like, Patrick Mahomes just was a big fan of Sesame Street. And the next thing you know, he just... kept talking like that until that became his voice.
Now I can't stop.
No.
Congratulations, I guess, to CSU Rams fans. You got a new coach, football, Steve Adazio from Boston College. So making the way around the internet, social media, is a video that he put out to help promote Boston College football. So... without further ado, Ram fans, here's what you're getting in the new coach.
Ultimate dudes. Two dudes.
You got to find the video. He just, like, put it this way. If I had my senior year at the Cuse put together in my TV radio film class a package like this that Boston College put out, I'd have gotten an F. It's really not done well, but in every shot, he's there pointing to something going, dudes, two dudes.
Ultimate dudes.
Ultimate dudes. Look at all these
two dudes.
Look at all these dudes. That's your guy. Clap, by the way, loved the hire.
Yeah.
He likes him a lot.
Can you make this quick? I got a meeting.
Because they need some dudes. They need this dude nation.
Well, what about Sean McVay?
What if they changed the name from the Rams to the CSU dudes?
Dudes.
The dudes.
Ultimate dudes.
I wonder what Joel Dreesen thinks right now. The CSU dudes.
I would think that Joel would love a guy that's all about dudes.
Yeah?
It's not like, you know, dude. It's dudes.
Right. It's not Spicoli dudes.
Right.
No shoes, no shoes, no service, you know, whatever it is. Right? Yeah, it's not that kind of dudes.
No.
Hey, dudes.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, dudes.
It's like, dudes.
All right, all right, all right.
It's like, do you even lift? You're not a dude. It's like that.
Right.
That kind of dude. Meathead dude.
Yes.
The CSU meatheads.
You see him walking into the weight room?
Right.
Dudes.
You see one of those spindly little, like... like they're like spaghetti strap tank top that barely cover your jubblies, you know? Maybe comes in a wrestling singlet. A little too tight.
Does he walk in like Andre the Giant or something? Dudes! Dudes! Is that a yo-yo?
Ultimate Dudes!
Anyhow. Hope it works out.
I hated wrestling segments. Did you wrestle?
No. No. Listen, my respect for wrestlers knows no bounds. You guys are crazy. So I played basketball in high school, so our gym was like an old school gym where we had the court, and then there was a stage. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of older schools had stages, and so right. There was always a curtain going across the stage. The wrestling team practiced up on the stage.
Right.
So there'd be times during basketball practice I'd kind of peer around the curtain.
Yes.
Watching those guys work out, I'd be like, oh, I picked the right sport. Yes. Nuts.
Right.
Mad respect for the grapplers.
So how was JV basketball?
Okay.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, okay.
Is that good?
Yeah. Wow. Somebody gets a questionable O'Reilly victory yesterday. Now he's feeling his oats.
Questionable. As soon as I walked in the door at home yesterday, my wife goes, oh, you got him. You got him on the O'Reilly.
Yeah, well,
Mr. Schlereth.
Which kind of surprises me because Mr. Schlereth knows all the kind of silly things you say that make it hard to really correct you because what's an O'Reilly and what's you just not knowing what you're talking about?
That's part of the game, Mike. That's part of my setup. Well, that's part of the ultimate.
I'm on high alert now.
She did scold me for, you know, some of the other comments I made, you know, when I was kind of went after you a little bit on a couple things.
But hey, Steve Adazio's been on the job like one day, less than one day. He's already given us drops.
Ultimate Dudes. Two dudes.
You want to be a dude? Come to CSU. I'll show you what a dude is. We're going to lift like dudes. We're going to practice like dudes. We're going to be like dudes. We're going to eat like dudes. You want to be a dude? Come to CSU. You want to be a dude?
That's great.
What are we going to do? We're going to go out there. We're going to play like dudes. We're going to win as dudes.
Ultimate dudes.
Our dudes are better than their dudes. Doo-dudes.
What?
Doo-dudes. Oh, I love the meathead.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Okay, with that, we turn things over to Sandy and Orlando coming up next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.